the influx of competing messages that we receive whenever we go online not only overloads our working memory, it makes it much harder for our frontal lobes to concentrate our attention on any one thing. The process of memory consolidation can't even get started. And thanks again to the plasticity of our neuronal pathways, the more we use the web, the more we train our brain to be distracted, to process information very quickly and very efficiently, but without sustained attention. That helps explain why many of us find it hard to concentrate even when we're away from our computers. Our brains become adept. Is she saying, or he, I'm going to miss you, Daddy, or something like that? Is that what's going on? It's almost Father's Day. You need to save that one for a couple of weeks. There's a whole bunch of jokes that come to my mind, but I haven't rehearsed them enough to make sure I got the punchline correct. So I'm not even going to go there. Speaking of sustained attention, that helps explain why many of us find it hard to concentrate even when we're away from our computers. Our brains become adept at forgetting, inept at remembering. Our growing dependence on the web's information stores may in fact be the product of a self-perpetuating, self-amplifying loop. As our use of the web makes it harder for us to lock information into our biological memory, we're forced to rely more and more on the net's capacious capacity and easily searchable artificial memory, even when it makes us shallower thinkers. Shallow thinking breeds shallow living. In the book of Hebrews, the author lectures his audience, his readers, about the need to have to keep going over elementary doctrine, elementary teachings, elementary content. Instead, that's in chapter 5 and 6, the last part of chapter 5, the first part of chapter 6 of Hebrews. Instead of the deeper things of how do we take these truths and apply them to life. The author of Hebrews warns against shallow thinking and shallow living correspondingly. During this series, entitled Light Brained, we've been learning that for us Americans, the problem that the Hebrews had is exacerbated by our hyper-connectivity, our connectedness to the internet and to computers. And habits are being formed in our brains and in our lives that we may not even be aware of, and we may think that we could stop them at any time. This last week, I commented to a couple of staff members how, as I was working on this very talk about concentration and about giving attention, that I recognized how difficult it was for me to sit at my desk, even though my office is at the end of the hall, to sit at my desk and to focus on the scriptures, the commentaries, the studies, the illustrations, the applications. That otherwise, just a few years ago, I think I could give a whole lot more total minutes of time at one sitting to concentration. I can't do it anymore. It's declined. I'm wondering what kind of habits are being formed in my life, and I'm asking you to consider what kind of habits are being formed in yours. You heard about the auto mechanic who accidentally slopped a couple of drops of brake fluid into his mouth, and he thought, tastes pretty good. Before the day was over, he had consumed the rest of the bottle. The next day, he opened up a new bottle, and he started chugging away at that one. One of the other auto mechanics said, hey, buddy, you're drinking brake fluid? That's not good for you. You better knock that off. The first guy said, I can stop whenever I want to. Have we been drinking the Kool-Aid? If the internet, if computers, if they're doing that much to our brains, can we actually stop? Let me remind you how important it is to be able to think deeply. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Let God change the way you live by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, right living follows right thinking. Deep living, as opposed to shallow living, follows deep thinking. Ephesians 4:23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and minds. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can rehab our thinkings. It's not a once-for-all kind of thing. We need constant upgrading through the work and power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need this upgrading to think enlightened thoughts, to think God's thoughts in a world, in a culture, in a time that is constantly filled with distractivities. The Holy Spirit transforms our minds through the contemplative disciplines of talking to God, communication with God, through reading His Word, and through praying. And it could be that we are contaminating our brains, we are contaminating our thoughts, we are contaminating our lives, and not just our lives, but the lives of the people in our households or the people who follow us in future generations. Okay, but how can we, in this hyper-connected world that drowns us in distractivities, how can we think deeply and meaningfully? Our theme today is, in defiance of our culture of distractivity, we must calm down, unplug, and focus our attention on God's Word. First, by ingesting it. Taking in God's Word is analogous to eating, at least in the Scriptures. In Job chapter 23, verse 12, Job said to his friends, his so-called friends, who weren't giving him very good advice, he said, I have not departed from his, God's commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food. In Jeremiah 15, 16, the prophet says to God, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight. I'm afraid, though, that when it comes to God's word, we treat it like fast food instead of a long, leisurely meal. I was reminded of the difference between us Americans and other people around the world. When I was with the Qatar team, the team that went to Ivory Coast a few years ago, and we had a layover for a day and a half or something in Paris, and we had to eat, and so we went to a restaurant, and we sat down and ate, and they took forever to serve us the different courses of the meal. I wanted to get out of there, go see Paris. We weren't going to be there very long. I didn't want to go to Paris to eat. I wanted to go to Paris to look around. They took, man, between times that the server would come back, it'd be like a half hour. And then another half hour after you asked for something, and I realized, well, those Brazilians, they know how to linger over food. They know how to relish the taste and enjoy the conversation. We Americans, well, we snarf down a burger in our minivan driving past McDonald's or down to Vit, right? And I wonder, when it comes to God's Word, how many of us are like Americans instead of the French? Well, the Bible talks about ingesting God's word like eating. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, the Scriptures say, do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We ingest God's word a couple of ways, by reading it and by listening to it being read and explained. By reading it. Let me just talk about how there are so many translations that are available to us that you can find a Bible that you like and that you really relate to. There's some good ones. I can always talk with you about that. Other staff members here can suggest some differences between different translations and why maybe you might benefit from one as opposed to another and what you need it for, what setting, and all that kind of thing. But there's a lot of good translations and even some reliable paraphrases. And you know where to start reading the Bible? I would suggest start reading in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They give us four portraits of Jesus Christ. And when you get to know Jesus, you get to know God. When you get to know Jesus, you get to know how you're supposed to live. Because we intend to be Jesus followers. We want to be Jesus followers. Or you can read the Proverbs. There are 31 sets of Proverbs. Where's Proverbs? Well, it's real close to Psalms. If you find Psalms, just go to the right a little bit and you'll get to Proverbs. And there are 31 sets, so you can read a different set every day of the month. And real practical kinds of instruction and wisdom for daily living. You can read God's word by reading devotionals. I forgot to check between services, but we give out these little Our Daily Breads, and they're at the literature rack in the commons, if there are any left. Oh, I've got one. If you can't find any anywhere else, come see me, and I'll make sure that you have this one. There's some verses to read. And then there's a little application, an explanation, and then there's a poem and a thought. And it's a great way to get started in reading God's word if you haven't started the habit yet. And you can get these online. Our Daily Bread, ODB. That's how it's shortened. ODB.org. You can have it sent into your inbox. And you can have something constantly coming to you to remind you to read God's word. Crosswalk.com. Crosswalk.com is a place where you can sign up for daily devotionals from like Charles Swindoll or Charles Stanley or Greg Laurie or any number of renowned preachers and authors, commentators. YouVersion. YouVersion.com is a digital or online Bible, and it's available in several different translations. You can download different ones of them. Some of them you can take with you even if you're offline. You can have it on your smartphone or your tablet or your laptop or whatever. And others, you have to be online to have access to them. And then the neat thing, too, is if you're not really in the place where you can focus your eyes, maybe you've got a headache, maybe you're ill, maybe it's just a tough time, and you can't really read with your own eyes, you can click on the little speaker icon, and it will read audibly to you, for you. There's daily Bible readings at YouVersion.com. You can read through the New Testament a year or through the whole Bible in a year. And you might be saying, okay, Steve, you've been kind of giving us the impression that you're anti-technology, and then you give us all these applications that deal with technology. Well, okay, technology with discipline. Technology can be redeemed. Digital media can be to the benefit of the kingdom of God and to your personal growth, or it can be a detriment. Technology, it seems to me, can either be your master or your slave. And I invite you to ponder that as we work through this whole series of talks on Light Brain. Well, we ingest it by reading it, and we ingest it by listening to it being read and explained. And now listen to what Nehemiah, the historical book that Nehemiah wrote in chapter 8, verse 8, says, they read from the book of the law. Who's they? That is the spiritual leaders of the people, the Jewish people. They read from the book of the law and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Like what's happening right now. I'm reading and explaining and applying the scripture. And you're listening. At least I have faith that you're listening. Obviously, attending church services is an opportunity for you to listen to God's word being read and explained. Sunday nights, are also available to you. If you summer comes, you know, it's so short here in Minnesota. It's like if it's a nice day, we got to get out to the lake. We got to get to the park. We got to go do something because we don't have very many nice days in Minnesota, especially in 2013. So let's skip church. Well, you don't have to skip church. You can come Sunday nights. Or if you can't come Sunday nights, you can come Sunday mornings. And I know that Sunday nights is mostly for young adults, but they let me come. So you can probably come too and be a part of that cool group of people. It's true that church attenders may no longer have the physiological capacity to focus for extended periods of time. And extended periods of time, I mean 5 minutes or 10, let alone the 30 that I typically take up when I talk. So let me offer some suggestions about how to make a church service better. First, give your household, yourselves, enough time to arrive at church relaxed. You know, not rushing in at the last minute, not trying to check in the kids real quick and down at Kid City, and not to pick up the, you know, the sip of coffee, or, but give yourself enough time. I won't point any fingers. Yeah, right. I'm pointing lots of fingers. If you want to get more out of church, get here earlier. On your way home today, you can talk about that with the rest of the crew. Sit up front. Just like teachers have told you for years, sit up front, you'll get more out of it. You know, they used to say A students were in the front row, B students were in the second row, all that. Well, we don't give grades here, but you can get more out of it if you eliminate some of the distractions that come from sitting farther back. Or maybe sit somewhere else. Maybe sit over there. Not everybody, but some people, maybe who usually sit over there, can sit over there, and vice versa. The change of perspective gives you a new attentiveness. In your bulletins, there's a place to take notes. You can review the notes, take them home, write down questions over lunch in the car. Talk about what I've said, argue about what I've said. I sometimes say things that are a little bit pushing the boundary of controversy because I want you to engage in it, not just swallow everything that I say. Write down a takeaway. Write down one takeaway every Sunday that you listen to a Bible talk. One takeaway that you're going to work on that week. And then keep that with you. Keep it in your pocket or keep it at your desk or someplace on your dashboard in your car that you can reflect on it. And, you know, there's also live churches available online. Lifechurch.tv. Lifechurch.tv. You can go there and you can watch, I don't know how many services they have, 6, 7, 8 every weekend. You can go there. It's a church in Oklahoma City. Good church. And, by the way, pray for Life Church because they have really taken on the goal of ministering to their tornado-ravaged communities. Lifechurch.tv, you can stream online a live service. I think you can also get to like Wooddale and Open Door and Eagle Brook and some other churches in the cities. You can, even if you can't get out of the house, you can watch church online. And then there's sermons and podcasts. The best place to go, in my opinion, is oneplace.com. oneplace.com. And you can get the best preaching in the world. You're not stuck with this guy. You can get the best preaching. You can get the people that are well-known. You can get really good stuff online. You might say, well, why bother? I mean, church. Yeah, well, really? There are blessings that come from ingesting God's word. Let's look at some of them in the Bible. James 1:25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. There's safety in ingesting God's word. Matthew 7, there's wisdom in God's word. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. The benefits are personal, and the benefits also spread to other people. Did you hear about the guy who was taking so many antibiotics that every time he sneezed, he cured 12 people? when we are ingesting God's word, when we are taking it in, when we breathe, when we talk, when we share with people, we are bringing spiritual healing to them. Not just wisdom for us, but wisdom for them. Okay, our theme, remember, is in defiance of our culture of distractivity, we must calm down, unplug, and focus our attention on God's word. Number one, by ingesting it. Number two, by studying it. A young pastor in Ephesus was mentored by a man named Paul. Paul wrote him a letter while he was pastoring. And in that letter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he said, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth." Maybe some of you remember that translation had the word study in it. It's give your attention to understanding and explaining God's word. There are a whole bunch of Bible study methods. Here's a quick list. Number one, humble yourself before God and pray for the Spirit to illuminate your Bible study. Two, read the passage several times, read it again and again. Number three, determine the single intended meaning of the passage. Four, compare your conclusions to others' conclusions. Five, determine whether the passage is prescriptive or descriptive. Does it just talk about God or talk about somebody, or is it giving you a prescription to follow? Six, while reviewing the one interpretation and the many applications, pray some more. Pray for God's continued illumination and empowerment to obey God's word. So we study God's word. I'm going to give you a website, biblos.com. Biblos, B-I-B-L-O-S. And most of these websites and helps that I'm suggesting are printed in your bulletins. So you can take them with you. Biblos.com is a great way to compare translations, to look at commentaries, to click on a word and find out in the interlinear version, to click on a Greek word and to find out what it means, what the definition of that word is, or Hebrew, to compare some of the grammar, like tense and voice and mood and those sorts of things. And if you want to study God's word, the best way to learn God's word is to teach God's word. So get a small group together. Maybe you're the one who needs to be teaching, and you need to ask a couple of people to join you in your small group. But maybe you're not the one to be teaching, and you'll find out after you've done it a few times because they stop coming, or they give you some feedback, because not all of us should be teaching. But boy, you can also teach in Kid City, and the curriculum is made available in a real easy, accessible form. And when you're taking in God's word so that you can give it out through teaching, boy, that's when you're really learning it. That's when you're really studying it. And of course, there's small groups and youth group and a lot of different ways to study God's word by leading. Number three, we can defy our culture by memorizing God's word. Job's words again in Job 22:22, listen to the instructions, to his, God's instructions, and store them in your heart. The psalmist in Psalm 119 said, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Colossians 3:16, let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Let it fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Now, they didn't have Bibles accessible to them. They had to memorize it in order to apply this. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. I'll talk about music in a little bit. Let me just read from Dallas Willard. Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose between all the disciplines of the spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization because it is a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it needs. And Charles Swindoll, he said, "I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened, your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective, your attitudes and outlook will begin to change, your mind will become alert and observant, your confidence and assurance will be enhanced, your faith will be solidified." For decades now, the Navigators have been publishing this topical memory system, and you can still get it like at Amazon or Lifeway Bookstore, I think, is available down in the cities, where they'll give you like 60 verse cards, and you can tuck them in your pocket, or keep them available somewhere, and you just are constantly reviewing. There's 8 different translations. Or if you want to make technology your slave, there are apps. Apple has an app. It's called Bible Minded. Bible Minded. You can download it, and you can have them, if I remember right, this one, or the Android version is Remember Me, and one of those, maybe both of them, they'll give you some suggestions about verses to memorize, or you can plug in your own, and then they'll help you. Like, they'll take away words, and you have to fill them in. Or they'll give you five words to start a verse with, and you have to pick out which one, and then they'll give you a new 5 words, and you have to pick out the second word of that verse, and it'll help you review, because that's the best way to memorize. When we saturate our minds with the Bible, our thoughts will naturally leak truths and principles from God's Word into our lives and the lives of people around us. In defiance of our culture of distractivity, we must calm down, we must unplug, and we must focus our attention on God's Word by ingesting it, by studying it, by memorizing it, and fourthly, by meditating on it. Did anyone think to themselves, oh no, meditation? That's not good. Meditation, that's like Eastern religious stuff. That's dangerous. That's, well, it can be, but God kind of came up with it first. So just because somebody else tries to hijack it doesn't mean we should disband it or disregard it or jettison it. We can use it. You know, there are other cults and religions that they use the Bible. Does that mean we should stop reading the Bible? No. There are other cults and religions that practice tithing, you know, 10%ing or 20%ing or 5%ing or whatever their adherents are capable of doing. Well, if they do that, does that mean we should stop teaching that? No. Well, other religions, they evangelize, they recruit people into their churches or their cults or their isms. Well, if they evangelize, we better stop it. No. Other religions meditate. Well, if they meditate, we better stop meditating. No. By the way, Richard Strauss, a local church pastor, in his book, Win for the Battle for Your Mind, he talked about meditation. English synonym is ruminate, and that word is used to refer to an animal that chews its cud. It is called a ruminant animal. The animal consumes a great amount of food rapidly, stores it in a separate stomach compartment, then lies down in the shade and rechews the food thoroughly, bit by bit, before swallowing it, digesting it, and absorbing it into the bloodstream. The ruminating or chewing of the cud prepares the food to become a part of the animal's body. The ruminating or chewing of God's Word prepares the principles in God's Word to become a part of our lives. Joshua 1:8. The leader of the Hebrews said, study this book of instruction continually, meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Psalm 1, the first 3 verses, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. They're strong and secure and fruitful. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Let me just talk a little bit about music as I wrap this up, and then we're going to sing some more. Music is a great meditation ignition switch. Music just gets us started in meditating in a really good way. We sing here at church. We sing songs that are singable. The melodies are memorable, and usually the lyrics too. Hoping that then we take it out of here. We don't just sing it here, but we take it with us, and we can meditate on those biblical principles throughout the rest of the day or the rest of the week. There's also Christian radio. Here in St. Cloud, we've got 4 different FM stations that play Christian music. We probably all have our opinion about them, but there's 89.5, there's 91.5, there's 92.9, and there's 98.5. And then there's another good option that we can't quite get in St. Cloud, but you can if you head up the up 94, if you head down 94, and that's Praise FM. They've got a station in Osakis, and they've got one in Minneapolis, and if you want to listen to it at home, you can stream it. PraiseFM.org. And if you're still old school, there's CDs. There are CDs, old school. I never thought I'd say CDs were old school, but they are. And maybe you want to go down to Lifeway Bookstore and you kind of listen to some of these tunes. And you can pick out a wow. Just look for all the wow. There must be, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 wow albums, compilations of songs, different genres, different eras. You can find something that really connects with you and allow music to be part of your meditation. And there's also personalized online radio, Pandora and Spotify. Talk with Josh Hobie about how to make that work. Calvin and Hobbes are sitting at home watching TV. You can tell it's an old-fashioned TV. This comes from 20, 30 years ago. Look at these, Calvin says. Look at these TV commercials. Each one is a jumble of lightning-quick, unrelated images and film techniques. He goes on, it duplicates the effect of rapidly flipping through channels. It's a barrage of non-linear free association, to which Hobbes comments, I guess they're admitting that a 15-second commercial exceeds the American attention span by a good 14 seconds. Then Calvin says, huh? Are you still talking about that? After Nicholas Carr had his book in print the first time around, before it was republished and upgraded, he said dozens of people wrote to share their own stories of how the web has scattered their attention, parched their memory, or turned them into compulsive nibblers of info snacks. I was particularly struck by the large number of notes that came from young people, high schoolers, college kids, 20-somethings. They fear that constant connectivity may be constricting rather than expanding their horizons. Some of their stories are poignant. One college senior sent me a long email describing how he has struggled, quote, with a moderate to major form of internet addiction, unquote, since the third grade. He wrote, I am unable to focus on anything in a deep or detailed manner. The only thing my mind can do, indeed the only thing it wants to do, is plug back into that distracted, frenzied blitz of online information. He is drawn back into the web, even though he knows that, quote, the happiest and most fulfilled times of my life have all involved a prolonged separation from the internet, unquote. Let's pray. God, we are creatures of habit. We're also vulnerable to peer pressure. Sometimes we don't think through what's happening with our friends or with our society, our culture, our world, and it has begun to impact us whether we admit it or realize it or not. For all of us in this room, Lord, I pray that you would give us the power to make technology our slave. You give us the power to prevent it from becoming our master. And for any of us in this room, that this talk or this series or just some other thoughts or conversations we've had have prompted us to consider that maybe it is becoming a master over us, God, I pray that you'd give us the power to break the chains, to break the shackles, and to throw them off and to start over and to utilize the internet in a way that would glorify you and would be for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.